shall we pray. Our Father and our God, we pray that thou would be here in this place in mighty power tonight as this message is brought. We pray that the Spirit of God might move up and down these aisles and convict men of sin. They might turn from sin and wickedness unto the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. We pray that this night we might see only Christ, hear only God's voice. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last night I brought a message on the subject of repentance. Tonight I want to bring a message on the subject of faith. Last night I used as our text Acts 20:21, and we read these words, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember that last evening we told you that it's impossible for a man to be born again. It's impossible for a man to go to heaven unless, first of all, he has repented of sin. And we told you that Jonah, that Ezekiel, that Isaiah, that Jeremiah, that John the Baptist, that the Lord Jesus, that Paul, that Peter, that all the great prophets and the apostles preached and taught repentance and said that without repentance, it is impossible to please God. And then you remember that we told you what repentance was. We told you that repentance was not only conviction of sin and sorrow for sin and confession of sin, but that repentance is also forsaking of sin. And remember that we went from scripture to scripture and turned through 50 or 60 scriptures proving that the Bible teaches repentance and telling you what repentance was. And we're using the same text tonight. I told you that it's impossible to have true repentance without genuine and true faith. It's impossible to have genuine and true faith without having repentance. The two go hand in hand. The scripture says repent of sin, but the scripture also says have faith in Jesus Christ. You cannot have repentance from sin without faith in Christ. You cannot have faith in Christ without repentance from sin. The two go hand in hand. And last evening, when the invitation was given, scores of people came in repentance of sin and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And last evening, this place was jammed to capacity. People were standing all around, and I have never seen in a long time such tremendous conviction of sin as we saw last evening, as God moved in upon us on yesterday evening. Tonight, I want to talk on the other half. I want to talk on faith. Now, when you have repentance, you're only halfway. We must have faith, and the two must go hand in hand. The Bible uses the word believe, trust, faith. What does the Bible mean when it says that? When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and believed on Him, what actually happened? What does the word faith mean? What does it mean to believe? Well, I want to use as a little story and as a little background the 27th chapter of Acts, beginning at the 20th verse. And we read these words. The 27th chapter of Acts, beginning at the 20th verse. And we read these words. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I want to use as our text this evening, as one of our texts, the last part of the 25th verse. For I believe God that it shall be given, or it shall be even as it was told me. For I believe God. For I believe God. Paul said, I believe God. Paul said, the tempest is raging all about, but I believe God. Paul said, folks about to overturn, but I believe God. Paul said, the storm is raging, but I believe God. Paul said, it looks like everybody's going to be destroyed, but I believe God. Paul said, it looks like the whole ship's going to go down, but I believe God. And Paul said, it makes no difference how the lightning strikes, how the thunder roars, how black the clouds are, how tempestuous the sea, how big the waves. God said, we will not be destroyed. And Paul said, I believe God. And brethren, if there was ever now that we need to believe the Lord God and the message of God and the word of God, it's the present hour in which we're living. You know, in the olden days, they had a wonderful thing. Every time another Christian met another fella, he would say, how's your faith? And in these days, we're saying, how are you feeling? You see the difference? They used to say in the early days of the Christians, when they meet somebody in the morning, good morning, sir. How's your faith today? And now we say, good morning, sir. How are you feeling today? There's a vast difference between feeling and faith. And tonight, we want to discuss faith. And in these days when feelings are predominant and circumstances rule and we live in the realm of the seen rather than the unseen, it's wonderful to have a faith in God and a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Word of God. We're living in an hour of uncertainty of human life, an hour when there's restlessness and fear on every hand, when every foundation that we've known in the past is crumbling. An hour of perplexity, an hour when men's hearts are failing them because of fear. And it's wonderful to believe. It's wonderful to have faith in a person, the Lord Jesus. It's wonderful to have something to live by. And all of God's people said what? Paul said, be of good cheer. Thank you. I thought maybe you were asleep tonight. I didn't know what happened. Bible said, be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Paul said, in spite of the circumstances, I believe Almighty God. Now, I want you to see, first of all tonight, the importance of faith. Why do we have to believe? Why does God say believe? And how important is it for you to have faith? How important is it for you to believe? How important is it for you to trust? How important is it for you to put your absolute utter confidence in the hands of God? And I want to show you from God's Word. Now we have five physical senses, and they bring us in contact with the physical world. And so in the sense of the soul, and so faith is the sense of the soul that contacts Almighty God. First of all, faith is the only approach to God. Hebrews 11:6, listen to this. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, the scripture says the only way, brother, that you can ever get to God is for faith. No way! You'll never get there by works. You'll never get there by your garbage sales. You'll never get there by the women's auxiliary, although that's wonderful. But that in itself will never get you to heaven and never get you to God. It's by faith without works in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe when the Apostle Paul was talking about another gospel, I believe he was talking about the gospel of works, because the devil has made thousands of people believe that they could get to heaven by works. And brother, the Bible says you have to believe God, and you have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Secondly, faith pleases God more than anything else in all the world. In Hebrews 11:6, we read these words, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. The Bible says, without faith, you cannot please God. You can give your money in the collection, and you can live a good moral life, and you can go to church every Sunday, and you can read the Bible, and you can pray, but the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Almighty God. A man must have faith. In James 2:5, it says this, hearken, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? You might be as poor as Joseph's turkey, and you might not have a dime in the bank, but brother, you're rich if you have faith in God. So the scripture says, some of us tonight don't have much of this world's goods. I wrote out 3 or 4, well, by the way, I haven't been anywhere since I got to Los Angeles. They tell me it's a pretty city. I don't know. I went up on the roof today to look around, and my eyes burned so I couldn't see anything, and I had to come down. What in the world is this you folks have out here in this atmosphere? I don't know. I don't know who's responsible for it, but I think the people of Los Angeles ought to rise up in arms. That's my opinion. And I'm not running for office. Don't get me running for any office. Well, the only office I want to run for is one of the priests of heaven. That's all. And the only one I'm fighting is the devil. Because the election has already taken place. And I voted for Jesus Christ. That's all. I'm on his side. He's already won. I don't have to vote anymore. James 2:5 says, herein, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Now, in many parts of the world, people torture themselves. They clothe themselves in strange garbs. They disfigure their bodies. They deny themselves the necessities of life. They pray much. They sacrifice much. And all the rest of it. But the greatest thing in the world that pleases God is faith. More than anything else in all the world. Now suppose I look around at Cliff Byers. Cliff Byers and I have been friends for a number of years. He and I have been traveling together for 5 years. Beverly Sherry's been with us for a little over 2 years. We've been traveling all around the country, all over Europe. We've traveled together and we've preached the gospel. Cliff sings. And Cliff is just about the closest pal I guess I have in the world. I think he's a handsome looking fellow. I don't know what you think, but I think he is. Sure, come on. He's a handsome fellow. He has a wonderful personality. I love to hear him and Billy sing. I like to hear him play the trombone. I think he's a wonderful fellow. He knows he just knows how to do about everything. He knows how to play. He knows how to drive a car and all the rest of it. He's a wonderful fellow. But suppose after 10 Cliff Byers. What a wonderful fellow he was, and he was beaming all over, and he was pushing out his chest and lifting up his head because of all the things I was saying about him. Suppose I turned to him and said, well, Cliff, all that's true about you, but I just can't trust your word. I don't believe a thing about it. How soon, how long would he be my friend? Not very long. And then we said, God, you're a wonderful God. You've made the stars, you've made the planets, and you're a great God. And Lord, I believe all these things about you and all the rest of it, but oh God, I just can't trust your word. You wonder why God hates our unbelief? And why he can't do anything when we don't believe him and don't have faith? I'll tell you tonight, if this crowd of people that profess the name of Jesus Christ would get down on their knees and believe God, we'd see a revival in 24 hours in the city of Los Angeles. We need to believe God. Yes, sir. We say, well, Lord, you're a wonderful Lord. We believe that you're a God of holiness. And Lord, we know that we've seen your footprints yonder in the sky and all the rest of it. But Lord, when you say that faith can remove mountains, Lord, you're just a liar. Wonder how he feels. No wonder faith pleases him. No wonder unbelief displeases God. He loves the person that believes him. Listen to this in Numbers 14:11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me? In other words, God was crying out for faith on the part of the people. And then listen to John 14:11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe for the very work's sake. In other words, the Lord Jesus said, please believe on me. He was crying for faith on the part of the people. Yes, sir, the faith is the only thing that pleases God. And then thirdly, I want you to notice, Jesus rebuked his disciples for lack of faith. Notice in Mark 16:14, afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. And then over in Matthew 17:17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? And then over in Matthew 14:31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught Peter and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Jesus rebuked his disciples for unbelief and lack of faith more than any other thing in their lives. Did you know that? And yet here comes an old Pharisee. Brother, I'm telling you, I could preach every night on the Pharisees. Because Jesus rebuked and denounced the Pharisees more than any other crowd, and we've got thousands of them in Los Angeles right now. Boy, they can get the most pious look. And they can say, amen. Boy, when something sounds good and it's hitting the other fellow. And we can holler amen, and we have the most pious look, and we get a little halo around our head, and boy, we're just the most wonderful saint in the world, and yet we've never accomplished anything by faith, and we gossip about other people, and we do all kinds of things that the Bible denounces. Well, the old Pharisees, yes, sir, they lacked faith. They didn't believe in God. Now, fourthly, the disciples were hindered by lack of faith. In Matthew 17:19, these words, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast this demon out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. You couldn't do what? Because of unbelief. And maybe that's the reason your church hadn't seen a revival. Maybe that's the reason you hadn't gotten the blessing. Maybe that's the reason you're not living a victorious life. Maybe that's the reason you haven't gotten saved yet. Maybe that's the reason for all these difficulties and problems in your life. And the reason you're not getting answers to prayer is because you haven't believed yet. The Bible says to believe. Paul said, I believe God. Then not only that, but a lack of faith is sin. The Bible says in Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And John 16:9. Of sin because they believe not on men. In other words, the Bible says if you don't believe, and whatever you do that's not of faith, and you don't step out of faith in everything that you do, the Bible says you're sinning against God. Yes, sir, that's what God said. Don't look at me. That's what God said. And then sixthly, the whole Christian life is dependent upon faith. 2 Chronicles 20:20, listen to this. Believe on the Lord your God, so shall ye be established, and believe his prophets, and so shall ye prosper. And then again in Isaiah 7:9, if ye will not believe, surely you shall not be established. The Bible says if you don't believe, then you'll not be established in the faith. Now listen, in 2 Corinthians 1:24, it says we stand the faith. Galatians 2:20 says we live the faith. 1 John 5:4 says we overcome the world by faith. 1 Peter 5:9 says we resist the devil by faith. Now listen to this. You're also converted by faith. You're saved by faith. You're born again by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And without faith, it's impossible to be born again and to go to heaven. Now first of all, you've got to repent of sin. There has to be conviction by the Holy Ghost. There has to be confession of sin. There has to be sorrow for sin. You've got to be sorry that you're a sinner, and then you've got to renounce sin. Repentance has to take place first. And then after repentance is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ before any sinner will walk down the golden street of heaven. There will be no person in heaven who, first of all, did not repent of sin and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. John 1:12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Acts 13:39. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Romans 4:5. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:39. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then the Bible says in Ephesians 8:9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, the Bible says you have to believe. 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 The Bible says faith, 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 faith. You have to believe. I believe God. I ask you tonight straight out, has there ever come a time in your life when you repented of sin and by faith accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I don't care how good your works are, whether you've been baptized, practiced, and followed, and sprinkled on, and poured on, and joined every church of every denomination in town, and tortured yourself, and sacrificed for others, and all the rest. If you haven't repented of sin and then had faith in the Lord Jesus, you're not a Christian. You've never been saved. That's what God says. And don't get mad at me. I'm just quoting scripture to you. And then you say, well, what in the world is faith? You don't have to prove it to me. I know that I have to believe. I've tried to believe. I've tried to have faith. But somehow I don't know whether I've got the right kind of faith or not. I don't know whether I have enough faith enough. What do you mean to faith? What do you mean to trust? What do you mean to believe? All right, let's see if we can see what faith is. All right, Hebrews 11:1 says this. I hope you don't get tired of me quoting the script. Brother, I'll tell you. I think that everything that the preacher says ought to say, thus saith the Lord. And I believe we ought to back it up. The scripture says this. You're not interested in what I say. You're not interested in what I have to say about politics and smog and all the rest. You're interested in what God has to say. And tonight I'm just giving you the word of God. All right, what is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now Weymouth translates it this way. Listen to this. Now faith, listen to this. This is wonderful. Now faith is a confident assurance of that for which we hope, a conviction of the reality of things which we do not see. In other words, I don't see it, I don't feel it, I don't smell it, I don't hear it, or any of the rest of it, and yet I believe it, and it's just as much a part of me, and it's just as much of an assurance as if I had it in my possession already. Jesus said, blessed are those who have never seen and yet believe. Didn't it? He said, blessed are those that have never seen me in the flesh. And yet have believed. And I sincerely believe that we are going to have a special reward in this age for believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we've never seen, because Jesus said, blessed is the man that believeth, having never seen. And it's just that, listen, heaven is just as real to me by faith as if I were walking down those golden streets right now. That's right. The gates of hell are just as pretty to me tonight as if I were looking right straight out. They're just as wonderful to me because it's faith. And faith exercises itself. And faith is an assurance of things that I have never seen with my naked eye, but I believe with my spiritual eyes, and I can see them tonight because I believe the Word of God. Yes, sir. It's wonderful. Now listen, who First of all, faith is absolute confidence. Listen how Martin Luther translates Hebrews 11:27. Isn't this wonderful? Listen to this. For he held on to him whom he saw not, just as though he saw. Isn't that wonderful? Just as though he saw, he held on and yet he didn't see. But it was faith that exercised. Now listen, if you're not a Christian and you're outside of Christ, what I'm talking about tonight is just about as far from your thinking as the North Pole is from the South Pole. And the natural man cannot understand this thing. It's impossible for a natural man who is sinning and sin, blinded by the devil, and still a son of the devil, and a child of the devil, to understand the things of the Spirit of God. Because these things are spiritually brought to your mind and to your heart and spiritually illuminated. It's impossible for you to understand how I can stand up here and smile when I talk about heaven. Because I can actually see with my eyes of faith the golden strength. And I can actually see the home that's being prepared for us now. I'm going to preach on that Sunday night. But if there's ever any time to shout and holler then, it's going to be Sunday night. When I get to talking on that, sometimes I forget where I am, whether I'm in heaven or on earth. When we get to talking about heaven. Now listen, a lot of people have an idea that faith is some peculiar and mysterious quality for which we are to sort of work up some sort of generation. We're to generate it ourselves and work it up and get down and just work it up and work it up and work it up. That's not faith at all. That's not it. That's not God's work. I have a little girl. Her name is Gigi. And that means sister in Chinese, if you wonder why we call her Gigi. My wife was born and reared in China, and when the baby was born, I came home and I said, we're going to name her Mary. Oh, no, she's already named. So I didn't have any part in naming our children at all. I ought to be home more. Then maybe I'd have a part in these family affairs. But anyway, when I go home, after my little baby got to talking, she always asked me if I would come home and build her a swing. Boy, she talked about that for a year. Every time I'd come home, she'd tell everybody in the neighborhood, Daddy's going to build me a swing. On the phone, she'd tell me, Daddy, you're going to build me a swing when you come home. I'd keep telling her that I was going to build her a swing. And boy, she believed that just as much as anything in the world. Well, I finally never got around to it. And somebody else built the swing, and I think that she had so much confidence that I was going to build that swing, she really thinks I built it. And now she's telling everybody that when I come home next month, I'm going to build her a tree house. Now you can imagine me up crawling around in the trees building a house. Well, I can't build a house on the ground, much less in a tree. But she has absolute confidence that her daddy is going to build her a tree house. She believes that just as much as if that tree house were already up there. And I'm trying to get faith enough to see it myself. But she's talking about that tree house. Now listen. Do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, before you can enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to become as a little child. Do you know what he meant? He meant that you'd have to have just as much faith and just as much confidence as a little child has in his daddy and mom. Yes. You'll never come to Jesus Christ walking down the aisle with your shoulders back in a proud, haughty look, brother. No, sir, you've got to come as a little child, believing God and believing the Lord Jesus Christ as a little child would believe his mom and dad. That's how you have to come. Now listen, there are three things necessary. First of all, you've got to have a knowledge of what God said. Now to have faith doesn't mean you're just going to leap out in the dark. God never meant it that way at all. Because the scripture says that we're to step in the light of God's word. And God doesn't ask us to do the impossible. Our believing is based on the best evidence in all the world, and that's the evidence of the Word of God. Now, it doesn't mean you have to understand it all. It doesn't mean that you have to understand all the Greek and the Hebrew and the theological problems or any of that. That's not what it's talking about. But when God says something, you believe it and take it just as it is. That's what it means. You've got to have a knowledge of what God says, and that's the reason it's tremendously important to study the Word, to believe the Word. You have to study it, and you have to memorize it, and you have to read it in order that you might believe it. And then next comes the assent of the mind and the heart. In Mark 12:32, it says, "And the scribes said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth." Now, these old holy scribes walked around with their long beard and their long noses, and they looked down their noses at everybody, and they were the PhDs, and they were the men of learning, and they said, "Well, we guess you've spoken the truth. You're a pretty good teacher." But they never believed with their heart. There's a vast difference in believing with your mind and believing with your heart. Did you know that? A tremendous. You can believe that Jesus Christ was a historical figure who lived 2,000 years ago in Palestine, and you can believe that he was God, you can believe that he was deity, and believe all about it, and die and go to hell. Do you know that? Because devils believe and tremble, the scripture says, and you can believe all about Jesus Christ. You can believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he died on the cross, raised from the dead, you can believe all about that and die and go to hell with your mind. Because the scripture says in Romans 10:10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. I ask you tonight, have you with your heart and with your mind believed unto righteousness on the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, you can never believe with the heart without believing with the mind. But you can believe with your mind without believing with your heart. And then the next step, we have to have appropriation and action. Faith has legs, and faith is always connected with action. Faith without works is dead, says James. Now, if you believe, you'll appropriate it, and you'll do something about it, and your life will change. We have a lot of so-called professions and conversions today whereby a man can be converted and live any way he likes. Brother, that's for the devil. And we have also a lot of people who think today that they can get converted and go out and live like the devil and live pretty good on Sunday. That is of the devil. Because when a man has genuine repentance, he perfects his sin. And when he has genuine faith, then he starts working for the Lord Jesus Christ, and his life is changed. And brother, you're so busy doing, you don't have time to do it either. You're so busy in the Lord's work, you don't have time to get about and go to all the things you used to go to. That's what Stuart Hamlin told me the other day. He said, "Boy," he said, "you know, I wondered what I'd do when I became a Christian." He said, "I never have been busy in my life." Tim Spencer told me the same thing. He said, "I'm so busy in the Lord's work, I don't have time to think about some of those old things I used to do." Brother, when you have genuine faith and genuine repentance, you get busy for God and start working for the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you tonight, have you been born again? Are you sure that genuine repentance and true soul-saving faith has taken place in your life in the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, I've got some good news for you. It can happen tonight, right where you sit, without moving out of your seat instantaneously. It's not a process. A lot of people say, "Well, boy, if I can just get back and get my faith worked out, and if I can gradually grow into it." People back here, they say, "Well, I'm not ready tonight." I said, "Are you a sinner?" They said, "Yes." I said, "You're exactly ready." I said, the only people that are not ready are the people that are not sinners. If you're a sinner, brother, you're ready for Jesus. If you're a sinner, you're ready to repent and ready to accept Christ. That's what the Bible says. Now, faith is trust. And faith is absolute dependence and reliance upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of difference also. Now, listen to this illustration. Do you remember many years ago, there was a man who had stretched a wire clear across Niagara River. And he was rolling a wheelbarrow across the river on that watch. Rolling that wheelbarrow. And thousands of people lined the sides. And then he put 200 pounds in the wheelbarrow and balanced it and rolled it right across Niagara River. And the people gasped and the women screamed and fainted all around and all the rest of it as they saw that man cross the river. Sometimes he'd haul and sort of sway back and forth, but he'd get across. Then he asked the crowd, he said, how many of you believe I can carry a man across? And boy, they all lifted their hands and said, we've seen you carry this 200-pound weight. We know you can carry a man. He said, all right. He said, who'll be first? Brother, I want to tell you, you couldn't see that crowd for dust. They loved that place. They said they believed they could do it, but did they really believe? No, because real faith carries with it the idea of absolute reliance, absolute confidence, so that you're ready to trust it. I could use the old illustration about the chair that Billy Sunday used, but everybody else has used it, but maybe I ought to anyway. There's the chair. I believe that chair can hold me. And I walked around and I said, it's a wonderful little chair. Well, then, I know it can hold me. It's held other people. And it's held to many of other persons. It's heavier than me. I know it can hold me. Well, go ahead and sit down. Well, you know, I know it can hold me. That's not faith. You see, faith is when I sit down and trust my anatomy to it. That's faith. Do you believe tonight? Have you put your trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, another person comes in and they say, well, how much faith do I need? It's not the amount of faith. It's not how much faith. You know how much Jesus said you needed? Faith of a mustard seed. How big is a mustard seed? You can hardly see it with a naked eye. Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, that's enough faith. It's not how much faith you have. And then somebody else says, well, what kind of faith? Well, there's only one kind of faith. It's not how much faith you have. It's not what kind of faith you have. It's the object of your faith. Where is your faith? Is it in yourself? Is it in the church? Is it in your baptism? Or is it in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the thing that counts. Is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you put your trust in him? Then I'm going to ask you Christians something. How strong is your faith tonight? Matthew 9:29 says this, according to your faith, be it unto you. Mark 9:23 says this, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Do you really believe God? All right, if we believe God, we're going to have a revival here. That's what it says. All things are possible to him that believeth. And then Luke 8:50 says this, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And this had reference to raising one that is already dead. Well, there are a lot of dead church members today that we need to exercise that verse on. They're just as dead as any corpse I ever saw. Luke 8:25 says this, where is your faith? When he was speaking of the storm and the sea. And then Matthew 17:20 says this, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Jesus said that, I didn't say that. Jesus said if you have the faith of a mustard seed, nothing is impossible and nothing is too hard for God for the man to believe. Do you believe that? Amen. Paul said, I believe God. Now I wonder tonight, do you really believe God as we close? Do you believe God when God says that all men without Christ are lost? Do you believe that? Do you believe God's word tonight? I'm not anxious tonight and I'm not concerned about what some big PhD says about the word of God, nor for me to believe it. I don't care what some big scientist like Dr. Einstein has to say about it. That doesn't make me believe it anymore because they come out with some big world-shaking statement confirming the Bible. I don't even care if I get it, if he believes it or doesn't believe it. That doesn't concern me. The by faith I believe God's word and take it just as it is. Do you believe it when the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? That the wages of sin is death, that the soul of sin shall die? Do you believe tonight that the whole world is guilty before God and all have sinned? God says it in His Word, and God says you're a sinner tonight, and God says you're a sinner, and God says you're a sinner, and you need Christ, and you need to repent of sin and come to Jesus Christ the Friend. And then next I want to ask you this as we close. Do you believe that God tells the truth about the doom of sinners? Matthew 22:13 says this, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Luke 16:22 it says this, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Do you believe that tonight? That the man was tormented in flame? That the man was crying? Jesus said that. Those are the words of Jesus, and he says that every man outside of himself, every man outside of Christ, is going to spend eternity in a lake of fire and brimstone that burns forever. Do you believe the word of God? And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Then, lastly, do you believe tonight that God is able by Jesus Christ to save all that come to? Do you believe that? That's what God said. God said in Hebrews 7:25, He is also able to save them to the uttermost that come unto Him by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession. Sometimes we are tempted to give up certain people and refer to them as hard cases. But thanks be unto God tonight, there are no hard cases for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an easy thing for Jesus to cast the 7 devils out of Mary Magdalene and the legion of demons out of the man of the Gadarenes, as it was to cast one evil spirit out of that little boy. One word from him, and it's done. He could speak the world, and save a dying thief, is able to save all those who call upon his name. I've seen many drunkards, and many murderers, and many harlots come to Jesus Christ, and I've seen them go away as pure as a lily, justified in the sight of God, adopted into the family of God by simple childlike faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The other night in this place, I talked to a drunk man. He came in, he was under the influence of whiskey, and he was just pulling all around and staggering about and trying to hug everybody and kiss everybody, but he was looking for Jesus. And somehow he stumbled into my arms. And he said, Brother, he said, I'm looking for a way out of my predicament. He said, I'm looking for a way out. I want to be saved. I said, well, get on your knees. We got on your knees, and I talked to him about Jesus. And he said that he took Christ as his Savior, and he started crying and confessing his sins, and he got up in a moment and smiled and shook my hands, and Brother, he was as sober as I was. God had cleansed him from his sins and transformed him right before my face. The Lord Jesus is able to save the hard cases and break through the hardest of hearts and bring you to Jesus Christ tonight. You say, but I'm too hard. You say, I'm too tough. I've heard the gospel too often. I have no feeling. It's not a matter of feeling, brother. It's a matter of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, if you don't feel like it, it's time you're coming to Jesus Christ. Bob Ferguson is a great friend of mine. He's pastor of a great Presbyterian church in Sacramento. Bob Ferguson is the only American to ever climb the Matterhorn alone. The only man in the world to ever climb the Matterhorn alone. He's one of the greatest mountain climbers in the world. He's pastor of a great church in Sacramento, California. Bob Ferguson is a big giant of a fellow, former professional football player. Also a Rhodes Scholar to Oxford. One of the most brilliant young men I've ever talked to. And for 6 years, he was one of the leading atheists out here on the West Coast. Many of you know him. He was the leading atheist. He denied God. He denied Christ. He denied the Bible. He had intellectual doubt. He could twist all around his finger almost any Christian he ever argued with, or any pastor that he ever talked to, or any adventurers that he ever talked to. He was so intellectual. Then, when he was climbing the Matterhorn alone, just during the war, I believe it was, he came to a place where he had to jump out and grab a rope and swing it on the other side. And he knew if he missed, he would go down thousands of feet. And he said for the first time in his life, he knew what fear was. But he jumped and he made it. And somehow God spoke to him right there. He came back to this country. He went up to Forest Home up here about 65 or 70 miles from here. And one night, this very intellectual fellow, he said, I have no feeling, but he said, I'm going to just step out by faith, and though I can't understand it all, he said, I'm going to accept it by faith. And he accepted God's word by faith that night at Forest Home, and within 3 minutes, all of his intellectual doubts were gone, and he said, I was the happiest man in California. Brother, listen. You come to Jesus Christ by faith, and take him by faith, and believe on him tonight, and I guarantee he can cleanse you from sin and take you into such a life as you never dreamed existed. There are a thousand angles that I could approach on faith. I could talk all the week, but I only have one night to delegate to it. And listen, the Bible says tonight that you can believe. I don't care who you are. A blind man can believe. A deaf man can believe. A dumb man can believe. A black man can believe. A yellow man can believe. A white man can believe. An educated man can believe. An uneducated man can believe. A man on Skid Row can believe. A man in prison can believe. The man in the head house can believe. All can believe. And thanks be unto God, that's all God said can do to be said. Just believe and trust and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.